As we just sang, "Are You Washed in the Blood?" One particular passage there. Are you resting daily in the crucified? Mm-hmm. What is your hope? Is your hope in what you can accomplish or what you could do? Or is your hope in what has been accomplished for you? Amen. The price that has been paid for your soul. We'll be on question 7 this morning, part B. We've been going over the scriptures and the importance of the scriptures, and I would like to reiterate a verse that we had visited a few months back. You don't have to turn there. Psalms 138, verse 2. The psalmist here says, I will worship toward thy holy temple and praise thy name for thy loving kindness and for thy truth, for thou hast magnified thy word above all thy name. We see that God has put great emphasis on his word. Last week, we looked at sound doctrine. This week, we'll be looking at the duty of man. The question is, what do the scriptures principally teach? The scriptures principally teach what man is to believe concerning God and what duty God requires of man. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you. We thank you for the opportunity to come together again and worship you. We pray, Lord, that you would open the book again to us this morning, that you've been so gracious this last year, Lord, to bring forth so much truth. We thank you, dear Lord. We pray that you would give us ears to hear and eyes to see this morning. Lord, I pray that you would help me, as I know I'm an unworthy vessel, Lord. I call unto you, Lord. Speak through me this morning, that you may be magnified and that our Lord Jesus Christ may be glorified. We ask this in his name. Amen. Let's turn to Acts chapter 24 this morning. We're going to be talking about the duty of man. We're going to have three parts to this morning. The first part is going to be obedience to the message. In Acts 24 here, Paul is addressing some of the Jewish leaders. Acts 24:14, it says, But this I confess unto thee, that after the way which they call heresy, so worship I the God of my fathers, believing all things which are written in the law and in the prophets. Now, this heresy that he speaks of here is exactly what our brother here was preaching last week from 1 Corinthians 15, that this resurrection of the dead. And here, he says that believing all things which are written in the law and in the prophets, the emphasis being on the scripture. Look also at Acts chapter 26. Let's look at verse 22. And we'll see the emphasis of the scripture as well here too. Verse 22 says, Having therefore obtained help of God, I continue unto this day, witnessing both to small and great, saying none other things than those which the prophets and Moses did say should come. Let's turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And let's see the application that Paul used in his ministry by sticking to what Scripture said. 1 Corinthians 2, let's look at verses 1 through 5. And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. And that reminded me of that passage in the song that we sang this morning, the crucified. Paul determined to know nothing. Now, he did teach doctrine. He did teach the way the church should act to the Corinthian church. But he meant to know nothing amongst them but Christ and him crucified. The only message that could save. Verse 3, "And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstrations of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God." His emphasis was on the Scripture, on sound doctrine. Our second part this morning, let's stay in Corinthians, let's go to chapter 10. In our second part right here, we'll be talking about the how Scripture warns us. Chapter 10, verse 11. "Now all these things happened unto them for examples, and they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come." So we see here that most of the stories of the Old Testament, not only being a historical matter, but they were written for our examples, to where we could see what we should and should not do. Look at Hebrews chapter 3, and let's see an application of this. What the writer of Hebrews talked about the children of Israel in the wilderness. Hebrews chapter 3. And we'll look at a warning of unbelief. Hebrews chapter 3, let's look at verse 7 through 12. "Wherefore, as the Holy Ghost saith, today if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts as in the provocation in the day of temptation in the wilderness, when your fathers tempted me, proved me, and saw my works for 40 years. Wherefore I was grieved with that generation and said, they do always err in their hearts, and they have not known my ways. So I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter into my rest. Take heed, brethren, lest there be any of you with an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God." So we see right here, the evil heart is the heart of unbelief. So what is the thing that makes the rubber meet the road with us passing from death unto life? Belief. We must believe. And how can we believe if we can't hear? And how can we believe if we can't see? God must open our eyes. That's what we learned in the last few weeks. Let's look in chapter 4 of Hebrews as well. Now we know the Scripture says that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Look in chapter 4 right here. Let's look at verses 11 and 12. "Let us labor, therefore, to enter into that rest," the rest that he was talking about in chapter 3 right here, "lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even into the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart." Now, I've heard that scripture, verse 12, quoted since my childhood. But in the context of chapter 3, talking about that unbelief and that provocation and us not having a wicked heart of unbelief, then therefore verse 11 saying labor, and then going to the Word of God being powerful. So what is that labor? Laboring in the Word. That's right, sister, laboring in the Word. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Our third point this morning, let's go to Ecclesiastes chapter 12. And let's see the conclusion on this matter. Verse 13, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. "Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man." Let's close with two verses. Proverbs chapter 1. Well, two passages, two verses. Let's look at the fear of the Lord. Proverbs 1:7 says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction." Look at verse 25 through 30 as well, in the same chapter. "But ye have set at naught all my counsel, and would none my reproof. I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear cometh. When your fear cometh as a desolation, and your destruction cometh as a whirlwind. When distresses and anguish come upon you, then shall they call upon me, but I will not answer. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me. For that they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. They would none of my counsel. They despised all my reproof." Let's look at Psalms 19. Proverbs 1 here we just read through is the warning to the disobedient. And isn't it wonderful? And God's loving kindness and His mercy and His patience that He would give us all these warnings in Scripture over and over again, example after example. Such as in the days of Noah when the long-suffering of God waited. That just 8 souls were saved at that point. Psalm 19. Read 7 through 11. "The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandments of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is thy servant warned, and in keeping of them there is great reward." And I'd like to declare to you this morning, this great reward has nothing to do with what we get on this earth. Eye has not seen, nor has entered into the heart of man, what the Lord has prepared for those who love Him. Amen. Lord, we thank You. We thank You for the opportunity, Lord, to open up Your Word. We thank You for Your Word, dear God. Lord, let us stand it as a standard before us that we would never move away from it. Lord, give us a hunger to open it. Let us labor, dear God. Let us labor, Father, for the fruit that endures into eternal life. We pray over the services to come up, Father, the Sunday school hour. We thank You for Your mercy. We thank You for Your tender kindness and Your patience. We thank You for Your warnings, dear God. Give us eyes to see and ears to hear them, Lord. In Christ's name we ask these things. Amen.